Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Thanks for hanging out with us on your home for KC Sports 96.5. The Fan, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. Drew Nixon with you. You can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Reminder, coming up an hour from now, it's our Jefferson's Lunch Hour. And if you go to our Instagram page right now, you'll see once again a $250 gift card is up for grabs. Instructions on how to enter on our Instagram page. So you got to go. It's the first post that's up there right now. So be sure to check out that opportunity to win a $250 gift card to Jefferson's, our official lunch partner here on 96.5 The Fan. You can, of course, catch every game at Jefferson's, from the block field goals like we had earlier in the year to some incredible catches I'm sure we'll see this weekend. You can witness every moment at a restaurant that's proudly local. Visit Jefferson's in Lenexa or in North Kansas City. Jefferson's wings, burgers, oysters.
Good job by Kansas City Chiefs fans, per usual. It was just announced Travis Kelce won the Walter Payton Man of the Year fan vote portion. They don't actually announce the award winner until the award ceremony stuff, the week of the Super Bowl. But he did win the fan vote part. So
hashtag Swifties.
Yeah, 35,000. Hey, they're all in one now. You know, Swifties are Chiefs fans. Chiefs fans are Swifties. You know, this is a...
They were never losing this. Like, Swifties, Chiefs fans coming together were never losing this thing for him.
Honest to God, when everyone else got up for this thing, it's like, I'm sorry, man. You guys cannot win this fan vote. Travis Kelce's charity was always getting 35,000, which is what they did. And he works with Operation Breakthrough a lot, which is a great local charity. Obviously, his charity is 87 and running. But, yeah, good for... nice job, Chiefs fans, or Swifties, or whoever the hell voted for this. I don't care. Uh-huh. Good job for getting the local guy the cash.
I would have been stunned if he didn't win the fan vote portion. I mean, that would have been real, real stunned. Remember, the actual Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner is announced during NFL Honors, which is the week of the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. That's when we also find out about MVP and that kind of stuff. But the NFL Honors is obviously a cool thing. And the Walter Payton Man of the Year is I would argue, MVP is one of it's one of the toughest awards to win in sports. If you consider how many players in the league do amazing charitable things in their communities, and it's like
you'll be selected off your team and then be the guy at a 32 that is selected.
Yeah, and you get to wear that patch for the rest. You get the nominee patch, but you can wear the patch the rest of your career, I believe, once you win it. Right, it's like the captain's patch. You know, they add the stars.
Travis Kelce might not be wearing it all along though.
He
might not be winning it, wearing it all that
just
long.
To piss people off. I hope he wins Walter Payton Man of the Year, and then the Chiefs 3 days later or whatever win the Super Bowl, and then he rides off in the sunset.
That just would be puts a, his just, patch yes. never on his jersey, just knows that he was the Walter Payton Man. Boy, that is the ultimate going out on top. Mm-hmm. Walter Payton Man of the Year, three-peating Super Bowl champion, four-time Super Bowl champion. See y'all later. Mm-hmm. How many Super Bowls did Gronk win? Not that I think that should matter for Titan greatest Titan.
How many of them?
He went five?
Obviously, he was with Brady in Tampa, too, so.
Four or five?
It's got to be four at least.
When did he come into the league?
He joined.
Nobody counts Super Bowl wins for tight ends. It didn't really matter. I was just asking. I thought it was four or five. I just couldn't remember the number.
The 1, 2, 4 looks like 15, 19, 17, and 21.
Four-time Super Bowl champion. So he can tie Rob Gronkowski and then walk out the door. And I'd like him to do it in a three-game stretch in which he breaks Jerry Rice's total yardage record and touchdown record, which
he's
like,
just taking everything with him as he's laying, essentially.
He's packing up his whole bags and being like, I'm Walter Payton Man of the Year. I'm the postseason record holder for touchdowns, receptions, yards, and I'm a three-peating champion. See y'all later.
The MVP of the Super Bowl. There you go.
Ultimate going out on top is what that would be.
That would be a lot of fun.
Other playoff teams have to happen first. Mm-hmm. You and I were looking at this playoff field, and I want to look at it this way. We'll take your thoughts. 913-586-7965. We want you to give us, and we'll give you ours, your undervalued team in this wild card weekend round and the team that you're just done with. And I don't care if you just choose a bad team and you say you're done with Denver, but the team you're just like, I'm done. Man. I'm done. And I'll start with done because that's easier. Packers. And I know it's going to sound crazy because, as you recall, they were my NFC matchup with the Lions. Mm-hmm. I thought I actually bet the Packers to go to the Super Bowl back when they were like a Chiefs Packers matchup, back when I could get it like 50-1 or something. So like, I got a little money on it. I am watching a team that is out of steam. And I've seen this a few times going into the playoffs before, and they have had to go through a brutal, I think, stretch of games. And look, I don't put much stock into losing to Chicago in the week, and they fought hard with Minnesota a couple weeks before, but they just lost Watson. They just look a little bit outmatched from these other teams, and I think they're out of steam. I'm just kind of out on the Packers. I don't think they got enough to go on a run, or like maybe they eke past a playoff game. I just don't think it's going to happen for them, and I'm checked out on them.
So the Christian Watson injury is definitely big. He allows them to do some things in the passing game that they're just simply not going to be able to do anymore. I still think if we watched that team throughout the year, a lot of it was an improved defense, and Josh Jacobs, who was sensational this year for them. I think they're going to have every opportunity to win that game against Philadelphia. I got some questions about the Eagles right now with Jalen Hurts and the concussion protocol stuff, and just how smooth they have been there. I think Philly probably wins that game, but I'm not out on the Packers because I would not be stunned if they were to go to Philly. We know the weather's not going to bug them. They're used to playing in cold weather. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be in Philly this weekend anyway.
Cold, probably.
Probably cold, right?
It's January in Philadelphia. Yeah. Probably a bit cold. Chilly.
I mean, the winter storm should be through there by now, so I don't think they're going to have, like, you know, actively a blizzard going on during the game. But yes. So I hear you. I don't think if you thought they were going to go on like a deep run, that probably doesn't seem as likely now. But I still don't think I'm out entirely on the Packers. For me, it's as a no-brainer who I'm out on. I've kind of alluded to this yesterday. The Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean,
look, I could probably just join you on that.
The Steelers are done. They've lost four in a row heading in.
They look terrible.
Russ and that offense don't look the same. So? George Pickens has given up on plays. Defensively, they've got some injuries now. The Steelers are the same team every year, win 10 games. Mike Tomlin does a great coaching job because most coaches, they'd be an 8-win team and miss the playoffs, but they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. They will still not have a playoff win under Tomlin since 2016.
I'd love for them to win because that means that's same. The Chiefs would get to face.
Come on down.
Please.
I'm out, though.
I think you guys would be happy.
I would love it. I'd love the Steelers to upset the Ravens because it would also knock out a very good Baltimore team with Lamar Jackson, who, if it wasn't for him trying to win a third in a row, then I think he would win MVP this year, not Josh Allen. But the Steelers, I'm out. They're done.
Man, I'm not going to say that. I guess maybe I'm saying they're undervalued by picking this. I think the Steelers are going to win that game. I think the Ravens are out.
Well, then that should be your undervalued team.
Okay. That might be the only, I just think for one game, it's a division game. I know that the Ravens just recently beat the Steelers, but that game is probably going to be ugly. The way that it's going to play,
15-12.
It's the AFC North, and that game is going to be nasty. TJ Watt looked better in the final week of the season than he did when they played the Chiefs, so maybe the ankle's a little bit better. You would think it got a little bit progressively better. Granted, it could have been just the Bengals offensive line. Who knows? But
no, he didn't look right for like the first 2 weeks he came back. He's just kind of a shell.
I feel like they're going to step up when they need to most, and they're going to be able to beat the Baltimore Ravens.
That is definitely your undervalued team.
Massive upset.
Maybe the team that I'm over. I've said this like from the jump, though. I don't think the Ravens have any chance of getting to the Super Bowl. Like
it's
none,
crazy.
Just because the defense. Maybe it's just that matchup right there on how I overvalue, undervalue two teams.
What about undervalued for you?
I think the Bucks. Do you realize that the Bucks have like the second longest postseason appearance streak of teams in the NFL?
They have the longest NFC one, 5 years in a row?
Yeah, so third longest. The Bills have been to 6 straight postseasons. The Chiefs have been to 10 straight postseasons. And then there's the Bucks, who have been to 5 consecutive postseason games. And I'm like, you know, I know it's easy to just like look at the teams and say, well, you know, this team, it's like it's Baker Mayfield and you never talk yourself into it. The Commanders are still a rookie quarterback on the road in a postseason game. They've shown their like not warts, but like the things you would expect out of a team that got too high too fast. Right. This is a year ahead of schedule for Washington. So when I start thinking about undervalued teams, I think year ahead of schedule, rookie quarterback, the road, the playoffs. Baker's played in these things multiple years in a row. I think the Bucs are a little undervalued because the NFC is such a wash. The Bucs are actually capable of beating any of the other teams in the NFC. I don't know that they will go on a run, but they are capable of doing it because of what they've been this year.
My undervalued team is on the NFC side as well, but it's another division winner. So Los Angeles Rams.
You've been on them since the beginning.
Yeah,
so.
I'll stick with them.
Stafford, man.
They have the second worst odds to win the NFC. That's why they're undervalued, in my opinion. That's 12 weird. To 1. They get the Vikings in the opening round. It's going to be a great game, I think. Tough matchup. My concern with Minnesota is, just like we said with Detroit, they didn't get the bye. They kind of played at a grueling pace here. Sam Darnold, under pressure, got happy feet, was seeing ghosts, all that kind of stuff came back. And they're going to have to find a way to protect Sam Darnold, because otherwise, you know that Sean McVay saw exactly what the Lions were able to do with Darnold, which was just blitz him and say, you know what, we'll take our chances on the outside. Sam Darnold's going to really struggle. I don't think the Vikings are going to get blown out the way that they just did by the Lions. But give me the Rams. They're underdogs in this game as well. They are the home team. When they're healthy and they rested their starters in Week 18, even though nobody acts like they did, but they rested their starters in Week 18 as well, and that's a good thing. They got off to a 1-4 start. Then they got healthy, ended up coming all the way back and winning the NFC West, even if it was a down year in the West without the 49ers being what they have been. Don't discount Sean McVay, who I think is a top five head coach in this league. He's going to go up against another very good head coach. If they win this game, it's all setting up for a Rams-Lions divisional round matchup.
Do you think if they beat the Vikings and they go to the Super Bowl, like they just show that they're capable of that?
Because my scenario where they got to the Super Bowl was the Lions not getting the bye and the Rams playing the Lions in the first game and then being
getting
clear.
Them there and then getting
the Lions the getting a bye now I think there's a very good chance they actually get the job done and get there. But
I agree.
The Rams, I don't think seeding wise can play the Lions in the title game. I think they would have to play them divisional round weekend. I think
the one thing they never dismiss on the Rams is, like, we were just asking ourselves a question, maybe do a bigger topic on down the road, but like, we know that the four best quarterbacks are probably in the AFC, right? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. I'd probably take all four of those quarterbacks to start a franchise before I went to the NFC side. Stafford is the most interesting wild card. Stafford, when he is on, is as good as any of those guys. Yep. I know it sounds crazy. Yep. Stafford, when he just is like on, when he's just on one, he's as good as any quarterback in the league.
Yeah, and he's healthy right now. So, the O-line's healthy.
And he's still got Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. So it just kind of depends on if he's – and Kyron Williams had a great year. So it kind of just depends if he's just on one. Sean McVay's done this. He's won a Super Bowl. That's an experienced team with experienced players. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't rule the Rams out. The NFC is just so wild because –
it's fun. It's fun,
like,
man.
It's easy enough to pick apart the group where you just be like, can the Lions really – I mean, they only have to win two games, which makes it easier. That is the most injured team maybe in the league. Yeah, and I say that coming from Kansas City, where they've lost some players throughout the year, but they're getting healthy.
Yeah, but that's why the bye was so mad. If they would have lost to the Vikings on Sunday night, I would be predicting them to lose in the opening round. But that bye is massive. They also had a week 5 bye, like the Chiefs.
Montgomery's supposed to be back.
Anzalone's already back. So they're getting the rest that they needed. We'll talk more about these kind of matchups betting-wise tonight. That betting show returns. I'll be live from 6 to 7 this evening. So we'll go through each game, some different betting angles, and talk about the odds when we have a chance to do that. One thing that could impact the Chiefs' chances, of course, going to a Super Bowl is going to be what they do at left tackle. And I agree with Nate yesterday. We were talking about before Nate even came
it's
on.
Pretty bullish.
Which is just like, at this point, haven't seen enough from DJ Humphries. So to me, it should be Joe Tooney at left tackle. And is that good enough to win a Super Bowl? Absolutely it is. Oof. Absolutely. Because is
Starting
there much
your guard
of
a, at left tackle?
Oof. Yeah, because we've I seen because I've seen three games now where Joe Tooney has been a very good left tackle. And I know last year Donovan Smith was the left tackle for this team. And I call me crazy, do not think the drop off in play from Donovan Smith to what they've gotten, at least in the three games from Tooney, is all that different.
At left tackle might actually be an improvement.
Well, then you balance out the guard.
At left tackle and left guard, it might be a wash, but like at left tackle, he's better than Donovan Smith was last year. And if they were able to win it with Donovan Smith, my problem is, like, now my question is less funny enough if whether or not Joe Tooney can hold up, and as if Mike Caliendo can.
Sure.
Like, if you get one of those teams that can move some of those edge rushers inside like they do, is he susceptible to getting picked on that throws your offense off? Can you not run to his side? Can you not do some of the things that we're accustomed to seeing in what the Chiefs do? If you had asked me this 10 weeks ago, if Joe Tooney's a star, I'd have been like, are you nuts? No. Starting Joe Tooney at left tackle in meaningful playoff games in the middle of a three-peat run is crazy. And you and I were not,
Well, he wasn't their plan A, B, or C either.
D, F, Q. I mean, I don't want to go through the options again, but over the last 2 years, the Chiefs could have made Joe Tooney their left tackle, not kidding, 40 different ways.
Yeah, that's why.
And they went 39 different ways to not make him their left tackle. And then eventually we're like, damn, we got no choice.
And he's still not a long-term option. He's just, this is the best option, in my opinion, for the three games that they need to win a Super Bowl.
And honestly, kudos to him. He deserves more credit than any other person, than deciding to do it. My God, man, they really hung you out there. You could have been in a bad spot. They took you out of the position you have played at an all-pro Hall of Fame level your entire career and said, hey, just real quick, want to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side for a few days against, I think Ross Tucker mentioned, the Texans. Very good pass rush. Okay.
We just saw it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, very good pass rush. An injured, I would say, not a fully healthy, but still a Steelers team that has historically been pretty good at getting to the quarterback. We didn't get to see it against he played guard against the Broncos.
No, I just mean Joe Tooney was left tackle against the Texans, right? No,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm not saying we could be. I'm saying we already saw it. And so it's like, when you start going through it, you're like, man, I can't. It's good enough. It's good enough. All we were asking this entire time was, can you get competent left tackle play? That's what we're hoping for Humphreys. That's what we're hoping for when they switched to Wanye. Can you just not be a turnstile there is the only thing we ever asked for. And Joe Tooney has never been a turnstile a day in his life. Funny enough, this stretch, if they go through and they win the Super Bowl and he plays left tackle in the three postseason games, they would have to win to do it. It might be the thing that absolutely pushes him into Hall of Fame. It's hard to get in the Hall of Fame as a guard. But if you just step up for these five games, you play left tackle and you win three straight Super Bowls and you just play left tackle out of nowhere for the Chiefs and win it all, that's going to be the final nail that he needs in order to, for sure, no doubt, be a Hall of Famer in everyone's mind.
Trash of the day.
So we go to Florida for this one. I know, shocking that we end up in Florida for a little trash of the day. This one has to do with some sandwiches, or a sandwich.
Okay.
So according to this story, and from the also Marion County Sheriff's Office, there was an individual that went to a Subway around 4:50 in the morning.
I don't think Subway's open at 4:50 in the morning.
I guess this one is. I think it was one of those that's tied into a gas station, so it's a little more 24/7-ish. 4:50 in the morning, about 90 miles south of Jacksonville. The manager reported that she caught the suspect in the act. The act would be he was making a sandwich. So the customer goes behind the counter, starts making his own sandwich. He did not apologize.
He likes it.
When he was confronted, the man exited the business with the sandwich. Did not pay. A deputy arrived an hour later, found the 21-year-old man outside the store, and he conceded to helping himself to a $10 sandwich. However, he threw it in the trash outside the store. Quote,
why?
Due to the man's actions of making the sandwich, Subway had to throw away all the food on the line due to contamination. The waste food had an estimated value of $66. Suspect was arrested. It's Subway, man. The suspect was arrested and charged with criminal mischief and retail theft. By the way, you didn't even eat the sandwich. You threw the sandwich away. If you're going to steal the sandwich, you might as well enjoy the sandwich. You're going to jail for a little bit anyway.
You got to go to jail for $66 worth. If I paid the $66, I think I should just be, it's not a crime.
That's actually going to be my question.
If I paid the $66, it shouldn't be a crime anymore. What did I do? I made a sandwich and I left. Here's your $66.
I'm a little surprised he ended up going to jail. But also, by that logic, you can't rob a bank and say, well, I'll give it all back. Please don't send me to federal prison for 17 years.
Up to $500, okay? Up to $500.
A bank, though, is different than a Subway. He didn't do it. He didn't steal.
He did steal.
He just made a sandwich. That's all he did.
Is it against Subway's rules for you to make the sandwich?
If he is paid for it,
is it cool?
No, it's not a make-your-own-sandwich place.
Have I committed it? What I'm asking is, have I committed a crime if I stand back there, make a sandwich, and then pay for it? Have I committed a crime?
So I wonder if he did pay for it.
The issue is he didn't pay.
If I paid for all $66.
If he paid for it, I'm sure they just would be like, what the hell are you doing? And just leave and be fine. He contaminated the food, but I think the bigger issue is he knowingly didn't pay for said food.
That's a problem. You got to pay for the food.
Mm-hmm. You know how disgusting a sandwich place would be if it was literally marketed as make your own? You went in there, they just it would be awful.
That's the situation we all agree to. We're eating past appetizers.
Like you put on gloves. Even if you put on gloves and I knew you washed your hands, just knowing that anybody could go in there and do that and then just grab their cold cuts, nobody would go there. Yeah, they wouldn't be in business.
You know, we should make it a new goal. For the longest time, I wanted to get stuff on this show named after the show. I wanted a Cody and Gold or a Cody sandwich at a place. place, we should go out of our way to make sure Vinny gets a sandwich name for himself at Potbelly.
That is his
that
place.
That man is earned
his place.
He goes to Potbelly like 10 times a week. Can we do...
They'd be smart to do it.
What would
Since Vinny's been such a good NFL insider for us this entire offseason or this entire regular season, we should get Potbelly to make Vinny Pasquatch name one sandwich.
The Pasquatch? I don't
know. Yeah, the Pasquatch.
He already has that Italian beef one, right? At somewhere else or at the stadium, isn't it?
Yeah, that's at the stadium.
Yeah,
they must know his order by now based on the amount he says goes there. So whatever his order is, that's the Pasquatch.
There you go.
You know? People should be able to.
So this is gold. You're describing every buffet place. There's a difference, though, of me scooping mashed potatoes out of the same thing you're scooping and
physically handling,
putting my hands inside the little container and grabbing tomatoes and grabbing whatever.
You wouldn't be sure people were using the tongs.
No, absolutely not.
Never be sure.
Like, yeah, that's the salad bar thing for sure. But like, just a normal buffet. I don't go to buffets anymore anyway. But
someone says I'm even more upset for what I pay for a sub now. All of that only costs $66. Can I just like pay the $66 and take all the cold cuts home? I can make 48 sandwiches with the amount of stuff they got in a Subway buffet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When's the last time you went to like a just a sub place, like a national chain sub place?
Yeah, probably in the last couple of months, but not.
Like I went to Jimmy John's like a week ago.
Like, I don't know if they endorse this station, but Subway stinks. It's just not a good sandwich. Okay. Bread's like cardboard. Price is too high. There's like 18 better sub places.
He's Cody Tapp. I'm Alex Gould. Drew Nixon here, 96.5 The Fan. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs red half hour and whether or not one thing we saw on Sunday might be a real future option.
At an enterprise level, nothing is more important than communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your team to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify business impact, but Grammarly gives you actionable insights and measurable results with features like their effective communication score, which tracks key metrics so you can make data-driven decisions to improve outcomes. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise.
For the Chiefs.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're going to pivot a little bit, though. We'll keep it NFL oriented, and it could impact the Chiefs because during the break, we saw something that we kind of wondered
a spam account?
And joked about. No, it's from the official Tom Pelissero Twitter account. We wondered when Bill Belichick took the North Carolina job. You know, what could happen? But here we go. According to Tom Pelissero, multiple NFL teams have inquired about whether legendary coach Bill Belichick would reconsider his move to college football, including the Raiders, whose new minority owner Tom Brady spoke recently with his old coach per league sources. Now, the buyout, remember.
$10 million
okay. Pre-June 1st. I think it's like $1 million post June 1st.
Well, if you're willing to wait, you know.
Mm-hmm. Here
Get
we go.
The
you
old
guys
recruiting
remember
trail.
When Belichick was introduced at North Carolina just, what was that, like 3 weeks ago?
I don't know.
He was asked, would he leave and go back to the NFL?
Yeah, I didn't come here to leave.
We'll see if he's true to his word, won't we? We will see. But teams are interested in his old pal Tom Brady gave him a little phone call. Said, I'm kind of in charge over here in Vegas.
I'm sorry.
Tom Brady, as minority owner, Belichick as head coach, Shedeur Sanders as quarterback. How does that work?
The NFL.
That'd be incredible. Not something I would like to see necessarily, but it'd be incredible.
This never made any sense from the beginning to me, so now I guess I'm less surprised by this end of it. I never understood why the NFL was like, none of us want Bill Belichick, the single most successful coach in NFL history. We're all out. Even though reportedly he had said, I don't have to be the GM anymore. I'll be the coach. I'm sure he wants some say in personnel. So does Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson doesn't have 5 Super Bowl rings, right? Mm-hmm. Or 6 Super Bowl rings, you know, whatever. So, like, I mean, consider that. This would be wild. Also, he would come off as the biggest jerk of maybe all time. if he takes that North Carolina job, throws on the North Carolina jersey or whatever for the post, says, I'm not leaving. This is what my dad coached. I always wanted to coach college. And then just took a $10 million buyout to the school and took the Raiders job?
And
left
his girlfriend who signed up for a graduate program. She's going to have to go enroll at UNLV.
She'll just transfer to it.
UNLV's grad program cannot be as good as the one at Chapel Hill. It just cannot.
That program would be in the dumps because everybody would get released. Everybody would ask for a release from their NLI. They'd say, I need to get released from my letter of intent or I'm entering the portal.
That program would win two games next year because they would get ravaged in the portal.
Well, I will say this in fairness, and we're not saying he is taking the job. This is telling you, though, that real conversations are happening about Bill Belichick and finding out, hey, man, are you serious that you really like the college thing? Like, we're just checking. Are you sure you want to stay there? That's what's interesting about this. And here we go. We're about to really find out if he means what he said about it. If he actually did go back to the NFL after taking the North Carolina job, the AFC West, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, and Jim Harbaugh.
Has any division ever had four Hall of Fame coaches in one division before? Because that's what that would be, right?
I don't think so. At the same time.
I mean, that's four Hall of Fame caliber. Like, three of them for sure will get in. Sean Payton will get in. Andy Reid and Bill Belichick will get in. Harbaugh,
who knows? We'll see.
He'll get some kind of Hall of Fame, whether it's the college football. He'll get in some sort of coaching Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's won enough, dude. He's getting in some kind of Hall of Fame. I don't know if it's the NFL one or not. But
how recent were these talks? Because Antonio Pierce didn't get fired on Monday. He got fired on Tuesday. Not to say that.
Yeah, but you know how that stuff goes.
But for all we know, Tom talked to Bill on Monday. The plan was to go with Antonio Pierce. All of a sudden, maybe things continue to increase. The interest is rising. All of a sudden, he's fired on Tuesday, Antonio Pierce is. And now the report comes out. I don't know. How recent are those talks, actually?
Here's in the same story from Tom Pelissero. The last paragraph is important. It says, if Belichick is going to seriously consider an NFL return, it could be weeks before his final destination in 2025 becomes clear. It highlights the Rooney Rule, obviously, the playoffs mixed in here. Remember last year, only the Falcons interviewed Belichick. They spoke with him multiple times before they ultimately hired Raheem Morris. How did that turn out for the Falcons, by the way?
Not great.
But yeah.
He can't even, by the way, if he's serious about North Carolina, he has to come out and make a public statement in the next 24 hours that says, I'm not interested in the NFL. I see these rumors. I know that people can call you whatever they want. I don't want it. This is what college coaches do to stave off any of the nonsense. I mean, hell, there was a college coach who just did this, like, right in his post-game press conference. You trying to get me to leave? You want me to quit? You want me to fight? That
was John Summerall. Yeah, John Summerall.
That is the job of a college football coach sometimes, is to be like, I'll never leave. I don't care if you're doing it or not. Bill Belichick has to refute this, like, immediately.
What do you do if you're North Carolina and Belichick actually does take an interview? Let's say he interviews. What do you do if you're North Carolina? Do you just say, you know what?
These are one of those, though.
I'm Bill Belichick. I don't interview for this job. Let's be honest with you. You're giving it to me.
Exactly.
Right I'm not interviewing.
Because of the circumstance of him being the head coach in North Carolina and he just took it, if he actually were to backtrack and say, my bad, I want the NFL job now that I can get it. Yeah, we won't find out like he interviewed and it'll be like it just happens. It just happens. Like he interviewed, yes, but we won't know about it. Like it'll be something that just happens immediately.
You got to be pretty much promising me it's between one another candidate and you're pretty much giving me the job. Like, I mean, multiple NFL teams.
If you're the Raiders,
you guys could have had Bill Belichick.
If you're the Raiders, though,
he's always been available.
Other than the $10 million buyout. But if you're the Raiders, why the hell would, if you could actually convince him, this would be a home run. Otherwise, I don't know who the heck is going to coach the Raiders this offseason. If Brady can't convince
Dave Canales, if
Brady cannot convince Vrabel or Belichick, I don't know who they're hiring that's going to move the needle much there. You get Bill Belichick, instantly it brings credibility to a crappy franchise over the last 25 years. And maybe, just maybe, you do still go get your quarterback and it's Shedeur Sanders. Or does Bill Belichick try to go get, you know, I don't know.
Ward, is he going like first?
They have the sixth pick. They have to trade up, though, in order to make it happen.
It would be Shedeur or Cam. There's nobody else who's going in the first round.
So let's just say they get Shedeur or Cam Ward. A division that would be Belichick and Cam Ward Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Sean Payton, Bo Nix, and Justin Herbert and Harbaugh. I mean, that's a...
Belichick and Shutter Sanders with Dion in the background would be also amazing.
That is kind of
you,
a...
You mentioned Showtime and Entertainment in Vegas. I mean, that's...
it right there.
Yeah.
Bill, don't do this, man. I didn't think he ever should have had to go
do
to college.
Do you ultimately think he backtracks? I think he stays at North Carolina.
I don't think he can leave North Carolina this year.
After June 1st.
But now that teams are calling again on old Bill, you can't rule out next year. Like, if they're willing now, again, he goes to North Carolina, they win 9 games, they go to a nice bowl game. If there are teams called, multiple teams, as Tom Pelissero put it, calling now, multiple teams will call next year, too.
He'll be 73 next year. He's 72 right now.
And next year, I think he'll take the job. I think Bill Belichick, this is now convincing me Bill Belichick gets back in the NFL. Because what I had thought stopped that was, I thought the teams had just decided they were not going to hire Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. But if you're calling about Bill Belichick, you're not calling because you have a passing interest. This isn't like, put Matt Nagy on the interview list and let's see what happens. If you're calling on Bill Belichick, you're thinking about hiring Bill Belichick. You're not considering a lot of other candidates at that point. He's got to be near the top, at the top, somewhere in the top three of your immediate, in your mind, finalist. If you're going to even bother to make the call, know you got to pay North Carolina $10 million to get him off the hands, or wait till he's your coach in June and pay $1 million to get him out of it or whatever else in between. And by the way, if you think he's the guy, this is the NFL. Pay the 10. Like, no offense. There's a $9 million. What is that? A second string line? Who cares? Just pay the 10. There's no salary cap on coaches. Pay whatever you got to pay to get the guy.
Out of all the openings, you know, some people might be like, well, every single one of these openings should be interested in Bill Belichick. He's the greatest coach of all time. Maybe that's true. The two teams, though, that should be most interested in Belichick, if he actually is willing to leave college after not even coaching in college yet, would be the Bears and the Raiders. Those are two franchises, due to ownership, due to instability, are a laughing stock right now. You could say the Jets, but we know he's not going to the Jets because he's badmouthed Woody Johnson. That's not happening. So yeah. It's Chicago or Vegas. Ownership problems, laughing stock kind of stuff going on in both those regimes.
And the Bears have already made it pretty clear they want a veteran stabilizer.
Yeah. Now, I would want an offensive-minded head coach. But if Belichick is the option in Chicago, you know you're going to at least be a competent organization at bare minimum.
Yeah. You're going to do your business correctly.
That halftime mess right before with Eberflus and Thanksgiving Day does not happen with Bill Belichick as the head coach, no. I can promise you.
Even though I understand why you might not like it as much, you know, for the Chiefs and stuff, but does it really scare you that much because we saw what Belichick was without Brady where
nothing scares he would be me with, for the Chiefs,
he wouldn't have
Raiders
Tom
wouldn't
playing,
be a door.
You know?
The Raiders, though, wouldn't be a complete dumpster fire anymore.
Right.
That's what it would mean. It would guarantee that. Right, so therefore it becomes tougher.
They'd be more competent as an organization, you're saying, in general.
Ultimately, though, Belichick still would have to get the right quarterback, though. That's still what it comes down to.
So weird.
So we'll see. We'll follow this. This is interesting. This
multiple
just coming out.
Teams are like, Bill,
in the last 20 minutes, Tom Pelissero reporting that multiple teams have reached out to Belichick to gauge his interest. Like, basically, you sure you want this? How's the job going the last couple weeks? You enjoying this recruiting thing? You enjoy going to small town Texas? You enjoying this?
You had to meet a couple of boosters. What was that like? Did they say they're more important than you? Like, you know, what was
shake
that?
A bunch of hands and
yeah. Someone just messaged me. They're like, Belichick's about to pull a Roy Williams. He's about to be like, actually, I know I said I was staying here, but actually, I'm going back to.
So
the
does
NFL.
That mean that his son gets the job then?
No, if I were so I know he's viewed as the coach of waiting. No, at that point, I'm so
that
pissed.
Would be wild.
I'm so pissed off if I'm North Carolina. No, I'm like, no, we're not having
no
the Belichick family thing. We're out. You're done. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Could you? That would be.
You're not invited back on campus ever again, as well. Like, there.
If he managed to pull that off, that'd be the slyest move in the history of sports.
Someone says, don't forget, he did the same thing to the Jets before he went to the Patriots. Same kind of thing.
I mean, he sat at an opening press conference like he was taking the damn Jets job. That's a good point.
That's from text line 913-586-7.
He wouldn't do that though at the place for his dad.
Dude,
I don't think. I don't.
Dude, he did it to an NFL team before he even met head coach.
I'll go right now, 60% chance he stays is where I'm at. Like, not like 90%. Like, no.
So you're not like overly confident.
No, 60%. I'll go 60-40 that he stays. Where are you at?
I think it's probably there. 70-30. I mean,
okay. True.
I told you, stay. But I think it's like now.
You think he's gone?
I now think it's 50-50 he coaches in the NFL again, though.
Okay,
I'm not saying this year.
Okay, okay.
But I think it's now a 50-50 shot that man finds his way back on an NFL sideline.
I think I agree with Cody. I'm going to say 75-25. 75 stays, 25 goes. But eventually he does go back, whether it's in 1 year or whatever it is.
Someone's like, was Dallas calling? Like, because now it's fun to speculate the teams. Yeah. Okay, let's just say right now we assume the Bears because they've contacted Pete Carroll and Mike McCarthy. And okay, let's
The Cowboys blocked Mike McCarthy from interviewing with the Bears for now because they have the exclusive negotiating window with McCarthy.
We know the Raiders are on there. If I had to guess that there was one third team that called, I would actually bet it's the Cowboys. They have a lame duck head coach in which they have an exclusive negotiating win for the last 10 days. Mm-hmm. They just blocked the Bears from interviewing him, so they definitely still don't hate McCarthy, but they also haven't paid the man yet. I think Dallas would be the mystery third team in this who has at least placed the call. I mean, like, what are you doing, Bill? How's life down in Chapel Hill, you know? What's life like in North Carolina? You like it? Is girlfriend like in college? Is she adjusting? Whatever.
Hey, Bill, did you see my cameo on Landman? It's Jerry Jones. I'm an actor now. We'll get to that.
Play that
we'll get
later.
To that in the 1 o'clock hour.
Not Landmine. Landman.
Landman.
The show Dana kept suggesting to us.
Landman. I haven't watched the show, but Jerry Jones had a nice role. Did a nice job.
He did. Oh, man. So weird. Of course, the NFL, man, it's king. It's king for reasons like this. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, just getting rumors that teams are still calling Bill Belichick.
As they should. As they should, though.
Whew. Someone said Josh McDaniels did it too. Man, it's a
Colts. Remember, he was about to be the head coach of the Colts, and then he bailed and went to Denver right after, if I'm not mistaken. That's how the timeline was. So. And yet the Colts are still a mess to this day.
This is small because I know it's the Chiefs for a half hour, but this is my thing on, and I think he's a very good coach. This is my whole thing on Ben Johnson, though. I don't like coordinators who act like they have to be king of the mountain the second they walk into this facility when they have earned no right to ask for those things. Josh McDaniels did the exact same thing. He was the hottest name in the entire NFL at offensive coordinator, and he started trying to push these organizations around being like, I'm in charge. No one's telling me what to do. You get a GM who gets in line, or I'm not coming to your services. He stayed an extra year in New England. He did all the same things Ben Johnson is doing. And I don't understand when coordinators, if I were an organization, I'm not letting the offensive coordinator for the Lions hold me hostage. I'll find a different coach. So, I'll find someone who wants to be more collaborative.
I get the McDaniels reference and an example, I should say. I would say I don't think it's fair at all to think that Ben Johnson's just going to be just as crappy as Josh McDaniel.
I think that's unfair.
I also think you're right. Like earn versus also the leverage in any, I don't care what career you have, right? There are people because they have leverage based on where they currently work versus the opportunity that presents in the future where they have leverage. It doesn't mean they've quote unquote earned the right to have that control, but
they're
going to use the leverage. Ben Johnson has plenty of leverage.
He does.
He's like, I can stay in Detroit. Like, oh, no, you won't. I could have taken a job 2 years ago. I continue to be willing to stay in Detroit. I got that leverage. You want me that badly? This is what I want. If not, I'll go somewhere else or I'll just stay right here in Detroit. He has leverage. He hasn't earned it because he hasn't been a head coach. Fine. But that's the reality of the situation. Ben Johnson has leverage to be picky, to get what he wants, both financially and control wise. Does it mean he's going to be a slam dunk?
If I was an organization, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not giving him the world just because he thinks he has leverage.
I'm way more likely to take a chance on Ben Johnson, who might be the next great offensive mind and my head coach. I don't have to search for an offensive coordinator year after year than going and retread interviewing Arthur Smith.
No, I'm not doing that.
Thing that's happening. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather take the flyer and the chance that I have the next great young head coach. I have the next Sean McVay. I'm willing to roll the dice if I'm the owner. Now, if I'm the GM, I got to be a little more careful because my job will be out the window in 3 years if I screwed it up. But if I'm the owner, I'm saying, hey, I'm willing to take the risk on Ben Johnson. What do I have to lose if I'm one of these crappy organizations that's firing a coach after 2 years anyway?
Funny enough, in the NFL right now, the GMs have way more job security in the NFL than the head coaches right now. And they're like a half a dozen of them.
That you're Jacksonville, like, I guess.
Ballard and Balky. I can give you 6 to 8 examples right now of like, how the hell do you get to keep hiring head coaches? You're doing a terrible job. Or like your team just keeps losing. And I don't understand why you're still in charge, but the coaches will get fired. The GMs just get to keep surviving. I'm just saying if I were an organization, I'm not letting coordinators hold me hostage.
Real quick, I wonder if Jacksonville, if Ben Johnson can convince Khan to fire Balky, essentially, Ben Johnson would pick the GM as well, where if he wants that control, that might be the spot where he actually can kind of run the show exactly how he wants. But, of course, he has to convince Shad Khan, this is not the guy to have be the GM of this football team.
That Shad Khan clip is one of the funniest ones I've... It's just another reason why I would never take that job. He says, well, I mean, if somebody said that they want a new guy, I'd listen. It's about winning. But they'd have to tell me.
That's a better plan.
Do they want to fire him because, like, they want to be the only person in charge, or for more nefarious reasons? It's like what? Like, what were you talking about? He was talking about, like, the head coach wanted to, like, take over the world or something. It was Pinky in the Brain all of a sudden. It didn't make any sense. I just wouldn't hire that guy. That's all. It's the Ben Johnson thing small. And it depends. Where he ends up, this is the one thing that'll probably help him. He is clearly not willing to take a job that he thinks is not a winner right away.
Smart.
That is smart. That is very, very, very smart. Let's talk about the Chiefs for a minute since we are here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And we know that the 3-peat is something that has got to be on the Chiefs' mind and has begun at that point. I pointed out some stats on Patrick Mahomes earlier. 18 games in the playoffs, 15-3 record. That's nuts in its own right. 5,700 total yards, 46 total touchdowns, only 8 interceptions. Part of the reason that, like, I just don't care about a 38-0 loss in the final one, or the pressure that comes with a 3-peat is. The pressure that comes with a 3-peat, the people you fear it affects the most would be head coach, quarterback, and, like, your star offensive player. Because those are the ones you're like, hey, can you, or your star defensive player, can you show up in the big moments knowing everything we have on the line? Patrick Mahomes is the single greatest postseason performer in NFL history at this point. Travis Kelce averages 86.5 yards and a touchdown per game in 22 postseason games. Andy Reid's postseason record speaks for itself. The number of AFC and NFC title games he's been to, the number of Super Bowls he's won and been to. Like, it's just hard to imagine that even the pressure of the 3-peat, which I think is real and they must be thinking about, can get through to them. They've just played in too many of these at this point, haven't they?
Well, they have. I mean, it's one thing, you know, we were at training camp and we were asking a couple of players about the 3-peat, and they're like, we had the back-to-back pressure, perceived pressure last year. Like, that was a talking point. So for a lot of the guys, this is no different. I don't think it really becomes a huge quote-unquote issue at all, if ever, until Super Bowl week. Like, hey, we are one win away from doing something that's never happened in NFL history. But so much of this is like, that was the conversation about going back-to-back Super Bowl week. I mean, they have the same head coach, the same offensive defensive coordinators, yeah, the same quarterback. And
going back to
that, you mentioned the other star players that are involved here. They have too much around them in leadership and in veteran presence that I don't think that's, while it's going to be talked about plenty and they're going to be asked a million times about it if they get to Super Bowl radio or, you know, radio row and everything.
With each passing week, they'll get asked about it more and more and more.
But I honestly believe what they said at camp, a couple players, which was like, we did the back-to-back thing. Everybody was talking about that the same way they're talking about this.
I think at some point you become numb to it when you're the organization that literally everybody is chasing. Like, when you become the dynasty, that's,
yeah, you're
like
always the hunted.
Everybody in the league, you're the hunted. Yeah. And at some point you become numb to the idea that, like, ooh, there's this added pressure because you're going for this one extra shiny thing. I think there's a percentage. I mean, a 3-peat's never been done in the NFL in NFL's history. So I think if you get to the game, it's hard to not let that sink in. But, like, right now, I actually don't think the 3-peat pressure kicks in until probably the AFC Championship game.
I just wonder,
that's when it becomes real.
I wonder if that's a conversation, though, that's more just like us, or it's like the fans, where I don't know if the players, because it's the Super Bowl. I don't know if we can say it's added, but I wonder if it's not the same for the players, just because it's a Super Bowl, and of course we can all say it's another game, but it's the Super Bowl. It doesn't get much bigger than that.
It's already big, right?
In a way, it kind of does for us in the conversation we're presenting around it because of the 3-peat, but it doesn't get any bigger than that game. And I don't know I'd be curious to see if a player really thinks, like, if they say they win it and they go through and they interview the players and they talk about it, I wonder if the conversation will be, I mean, going into that game, we really knew this was the 3-peat or this is the opportunity, or...
Well, they've talked about it publicly the minute they were on the stage, right, Drew? Last year in Vegas, they were already talking about 3-peating then.
And the reverse pressure, so, like, this is the really difficult thing, because these things do exist and I don't think we're going to ignore them. The reverse pressure. Is it more pressure to actually complete the 3-peat if you're in the Super Bowl, or be the team that finally stops this? Like, let's say you get to a Super Bowl right now. If you're Detroit, right? Detroit's never won a Super Bowl. They got way more pressure. It's like the only team.
Yes.
Detroit, they've never.
Oh, well, Buffalo has more pressure right now. Lamar has more pressure. And the Ravens have, you know what I mean?
Like, the Vikings would have more pressure if the Vikings were in it.
Yeah, you're Detroit. You're in a Super Bowl. You've never won one of these. And now you're trying to stop them. You're the person tasked with stopping this 3-peat. There's pressure in the reverse end of it to be like, we got to be the team that slows this team. We're going to be the one who stops them. Where you build this thing up into just not it's a team you're playing. You're trying to win the whole dynasty back off of them, right? You're trying to take down the champ. And when you go in sometimes thinking they're the champ, they've got the belt, I'm going to take it from them, you're putting pressure on yourself you're not even meaning to sometimes. And I think that happens on both sides.
Yeah, it's not just the pressure of winning it for the first time ever in your history. It might be the only time you ever get back. Like we talked about that with the Bengals, with the Lions, the same case in point. But then you pile on that on top of it, Cody. I definitely would be more on the Lions.
Don't forget, we made some playoff t-shirts thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. Be on the lookout for those next week. We'll tell you how you can pick up a couple of these playoff shirts. And don't forget to get Gates Barbecue for your tailgate or this weekend, right? Watching at home, plenty of playoff action taking place. Up next, we'll get to what's trending and another refresher on where things are at coaching-wise, not necessarily just with the Raiders, but some of the other scenarios that are out there. And Cody heard me say something yesterday. He thinks maybe it should actually be the opposite. We'll explain what he means by that next.